The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. And before we start, today's episode of the Stoic Jew podcast is dedicated to the joyous occasion of the marriage of Isaac Lichter and Aviva Rubinstein. Isaac is my Talmid Chaver, my dear friend, my fellow student of Torah and Chachma, and a Talmid who attended all of my shirim this past year, morning, afternoon, and night. Aviva is also a student of mine, whom I taught for 4 years in Shalhevet, and who attended my Lomdeha shirim last year. Words cannot express how happy I am about their upcoming marriage, and I am grateful to Hashem that we are in each other's lives. May they flourish together in this next chapter of their journey. Okay, so today's reading is from Marcus Aurelius, book two, chapter 11, and it's just the first line. And the line says, "You may leave life at any moment. Have this possibility in your mind in all that you do or say or think." Okay, so let me set the stage, because this is another example of Stoicism in action. Okay, so as you may know, if you listened to the previous episode, I have returned to New York for 2 weeks for Isaac and Aviva's wedding and for our 2 weeks of our summer program in Yeshiva. And so this is my first Shabbos back, and it was, despite, you know, I expressed in the last episode how I have a lot of conflicting feelings about this brief period back in New York, but Shabbos was absolutely wonderful. It was first of all, it was just great to be back here for Shabbos, but there was just so much love and joy in the air the entire weekend. I mean, seeing my friends and my students and my family away from family, and just, you know, it was a full good Shabbos. And it was too many moments of gratitude to count. Okay. So that's setting the stage number one. Okay. Setting the stage number two is, if you listen to the last episode, you'll also know, last episode was about a Stoic medallion that I bought. The obstacle is the way. I did not reveal yet, until now, I guess. I bought three coins, okay? Three medallions. So one of the other ones that I bought says the front of it is has on it a skull, and then to the left of the skull is an hourglass, and to the right of the skull is a tulip. It's modeled after a painting called Still Life with a Skull by Philippe de Champagne, I guess. The coin says Memento Mori. Remember your mortality, remember your death, remember that you will die, however you want to translate it. And the idea behind the painting, from what I understand, is the skull represents death, the tulip represents life, and the hourglass represents time, which are the three essentials. And so the back of the coin has the different translation of the first clause of this chapter. So the coin says you could leave life right now. And I actually like the other translation I read better. You may leave this life at any moment, I appreciate the way that it's worded ambiguously. You would have expected it to say you could die at any moment, you know, but you could leave this life at any moment, I think, has a slightly different meaning. So plain pshat is that you could die at any moment. You know, just that's what memento mori means, is that you could die at any moment. But then framing it instead of dying as leaving life, I think that's another thing. And this is, again, not pshat, but like the whole idea of this, you know, quote is that you really should be living life in the present and thinking about the present in light of the future, you know, in light of the fact that your time here is finite, and that you should live well, and you should say and do and think the right things. And so the notion that in the course of living, you could slip out of life, you know, not in a literal sense of dying, but in the sense of just not living, you know, of leaving life, you know, and just, it's a good reminder about the fact that could happen, you know. And there's a third meaning, which is not in line with Torah, right, which is that the Stoics viewed suicide as a as a viable option, and we don't. And I guess, you know, I mean, well, that's all another topic. But I think that's also one of the intent, one of the intents in the line that you could leave life at any moment. But anyway, so I bought this medallion, and like the other one, I think you know, this is part of an experiment of having a tangible object that I you know, that can remind me of this. And this coin I intend to keep in my shirt pocket, you know, so I can feel its weight near my heart. And we'll see if that enhances the awareness. Now, the other thing is I forgot if I mentioned this last time, I'm a coin flipper, or I used to be a coin flipper. I want to get back to it as my fidgeting thing. So all Shabbos, I had this coin, and I was taking it out and reminding myself of it and thinking about this idea the entire Shabbos. And again, it helped me to experience Shabbos fully, because I was realizing this is life, you know, and I'm grateful for every moment that I have. And so I was flipping this coin at every moment. And then I decided Suda Shlishis, instead of being part of the festivities, I just needed some time to myself. So I went back, had Suda Shlishis, and then I got into a kind of personal funk, thinking about a lot of the issues that I talked about in the last episode, about like my conflicted feelings about this upcoming year, and everything like that. So I was in a very personal, or in a cloud of you know, of emotion and thoughts that were about the future and anxiety and all this other stuff. So with that in mind, it was getting close to Maariv, so I left my apartment and I was on my way to shul. I turned the corner, and there's this frum guy who I didn't know, who was like beckoning me to come over, and he said, "There's this old man who needs help." So I go over, and you know, I didn't know what was going on, and this is in the back of a house, and there's like steps leading up, and there's a railing, and there's this old man and this old woman. The old man looked to be in his, he looked to be in his mid 80s, and the woman looked to be maybe in her late 70s, and she was distraught, and he was, the only way I could describe it is it looked like he had fainted or was on the brink of fainting. He was holding on to this railing, and leaning, you know, supporting his weight on this railing and leaning backwards. And the woman was saying, you know, could you help? Could you help? You know, this is my brother. And it was, you know, there's a lot of panic in the air. So I don't really know the full story, but, I guess he had just come back from the hospital. I guess they'd have to call the hospital on Shabbos. This is a frum man, by the way. And so she had dropped him off, but I guess it was at the wrong house. Unclear to me whether she got the wrong house or he got the wrong house. And then like he just fell, was falling. And I don't know if this was, you know, fatigue. I don't know if it was a heart attack. I don't know if it was a stroke. I have no idea medically what was going on. All I knew was I saw this man, and his face was ashen. And basically what happened, and he was just hanging on. And so we tried to help him up, and he couldn't stand. And, you know, I had his right arm, and the other guy had his left arm, and we were just trying to support him. And then we, you know, as it, again, we just kind of got pulled into this situation. And as it dawned on us, you know, we just got called over to help this guy, but then it dawned on us that we need to call Hatsala, you know? So the woman had her phone on her, and so she called Hatsala, and then the other guy went to go stand in the street to like make sure that Hatsala saw us. And thankfully Hatsala is literally right down the street. So, you know, we knew that they were going to be on their way within minutes. And then I went back and I helped the guy to the ground, and was just, okay. Okay, I said I was gonna be able to get through this without getting emotional, but it was a very emotional thing. I was just holding him. Yeah, I was just holding him and comforting him, and he just seemed very frail and scared, and you know, he was. At first, I didn't even know whether he was conscious, but I was trying to talk to him and get him to talk back, and then just holding him, So then Hatzalah came, and I decided at that point then it would be, I would just be in the way and there's nothing more I could do. And in fact, I think it was like three Hatzalah vehicles that came. Plenty of help. And so I left and went on my way to shul. And then I just broke down crying on the way. I think a combination of this is why I'm making this episode, because it was all of Shabbos, I was thinking about this idea of memento mori, and then the actual reminder of death literally came out of nowhere and was in my arms, without getting to the personal issues that I had been thinking about before I left the house, this definitely put a different perspective on that, and pulled me out of this and just reframed everything in an abrupt way, as if it was a real slap in the face is the wrong word. It was a real like being shaken awake, you know. A lot of these personal issues had to do with the fact that, you know, that Popo, my 96-year-old grandmother, we just came back from Hawaii after visiting her, and so her imminent death has been on my mind, and she actually just had surgery on Friday, so death was on my mind from that also. But there's something about the holding this old man's body in my arms and feeling his bones through his skin. Nothing is a reminder. I bought the medallion so I would have a concrete, tangible reminder. Let me tell you, nothing is more of a concrete, tangible reminder of death than holding a dying person in your arms. So that is that was my experience this Motzei Shabbos. Did I even say that this was occurring on Shabbos? I did. Okay, fine. Yeah. All right. So needless to say, it was lots of ups and downs, a very, very great, wonderful Shabbos filled with life. And then this encounter, at the end of Shabbos, with the wedding today, as I mentioned in the dedication, this is going to be the first, wedding of two of my Talmidim and of one of my closest friends, I can't help but think of the Pasuk in Koheles. I really should have looked this up earlier. I think it's in the beginning of one of the prakim here. Let me just see if I can find it. Hold on a second. Give me a second. I'm just going to look this up. Sorry. Hold on. Base Avil. Yeah. So this is in Koheles 7:2. And it says, let me look it up in actual psukim. Sorry about this delay. I did not intend to quote the source, but you gotta say what comes to mind. Tov, yeah. Tov lalechas el beis evil, milechas el beis mishte. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting. Ba'asher hu sof kol ha'adam, because this is the end of every man. V'hachai yitein el libo, and the living will take it to heart. And so, the fact that I... this Shabbos was the Ofrof and was a base mishte, base simcha, a house of joy, and then today is the wedding. So to have this this experience last night was a good kind of up and down, good kinds of up and down, and yeah. All right, so I guess that's all I have to say about that. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle and PayPal are mattschneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor a day's or a week's worth of content, perhaps for a simcha, such as the Lichter Rubenstein wedding, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com.
Also, if you're interested in enlisting my services as teacher or tutor, reach me at ravishnevas@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.